me give you all a warm welcome to our worship service, and the following are the announcements. This morning and evening, our preacher is the Reverend Robert McCollum. The meeting of Synod this year are due to be held in Limavady, RPC, from Monday the 10th to Wednesday the 12th of June. Meal tickets for lunch or dinner on Tuesday and Wednesday need to be booked in advance. And the cost is lunch £6 and dinner £23, as this is given in a local hotel. If anyone requires meal tickets, please put your name on the sheet on the vestibule table or speak to Elliot today. Midweek prayer meeting on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. and the CY will meet on Friday evening at 7:30. Ballymoney congregation is requesting help from the Northern Presbytery congregations to run their stall at the Ballymoney Show. And this takes place from Friday the 31st of May to Saturday the 1st of June. Please contact Mr. Hugh McCluggage, and his phone number is on the sheet. Cullybaggy Women's Fellowship has extended an invitation to their annual coffee morning in the church hall from 10:30 to 12 noon on Saturday the 1st of June. Next Lord's Day morning worship will be taken by the Reverend Stephen Robinson, and our evening service at 7:30 by the Reverend Raymond Blair. Northwest Go Team needs more applicants if it is to go ahead, and they'll be helping out in Fochan, Brady and Gateway congregations. There's also more details as to how to get in contact. The Ballylagan team from the 24th to the 27th of June is also in need of applicants. This team will only run in the evenings, so it is particularly suitable for those living relatively nearby who have work commitments during the day. So please get in touch if you're able to help there. And there's other Go teams that are looking for applicants: Dromore, Stranraer, and please keep these in mind and help if you can. These are all the announcements. It gives me great pleasure to welcome back the Reverend Robert McCollum and ask him to lead us in worship, please.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Roy, for the welcome. It's good to be back with you. And I bring with me today greetings from your brothers and sisters in the Lisburn congregation, where I've been for 3.5 years now, but the special, special greetings of Mrs. Margaret Leahy I bring with me this morning, a former member here, of course, and indeed a former minister's wife here. She is now in a nursing home in Dromore, just beside the Dromore Reformed Presbyterian Church. Mrs. Leahy, She is becoming increasingly frail, and with that, increasingly confused as well, and more forgetful of details. But she still loves the Lord, loves the church. And I was with her this week telling her I was heading to Kilrats on the Sabbath day, and she said, "Oh, Kilrats, Kilrats." So she absolutely loves and still remembers her time here in Kilrats, turning 94, God willing, in a few months' time. So I bring the greetings of Mrs. Leakey with me this morning. So let us come and let us to the Lord in songs our voices raise. We come in our opening psalm to number 86. 86a, we sing verses 5 to 9 using the tune number 15. 86a, verses 5 to 9, those large stanzas, 5 to 9. We're going to be thinking today, this morning, particularly about patience. Patience, one of the fruit of the Spirit. And God is a God of patience. Verse 9 makes that very clear. "But you're a God of mercy, Lord. With you are grace and patience found. You're slow to anger, rich in grace. Your truth and faithfulness abound." And this is all fleshed out in the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived out patience for us in his work and ministry here on earth. So let's sing these words to God's praise. 86a, 5 to 9. We'll stand to sing, and then as we're able, we'll remain standing for prayer. Let us worship God. Let us pray together. O Lord our God, truly among all the gods, there is none like you. Indeed, O Lord, they're not even worthy of the name God. And yet we turn our hearts, we turn our affections, we turn our thoughts over and time again to things that are not you, to people and places that are not you. And we confess that we have set our hearts and affections on other things higher and greater than you. So, Lord, we thank you for the reminder of these words this morning. There is none like you. You are unique. You are unparalleled. You are a God of great love, of great mercy, of great grace. Indeed, O Lord, you are a God of astounding and staggering patience, a God slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You are the sovereign one who knows the end from the beginning, the one in whose hand our time is safely held. Your ways higher than our ways, your thoughts higher than our thoughts. So we bow before you today and we recognize that you do all things well. And it is good for us to worship you. It is good for us to gather here in this place to recognize that you are God and we are not. Forgive us our sins, O Lord. Forgive us for how we set ourselves on the throne of life and we seek to dethrone the almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God. Help us to find corrective today as we come to the place of worship, that this would be a weekly reset for us, recalibrating our lives and recalibrating our hearts once again, recognizing that you are the sovereign Lord over all things. We thank you for the faith we share in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, gracious God, that you sent him from heaven to live here on earth that perfect life we couldn't live, to die that death we deserved to die, only to be raised from the grave in staggering and wonderful new life. We thank you that he's alive today, risen and reigning, and we thank you that he is your Son who rules over all things. So, Lord, help us as we look to him today. Help us to love him more. Help us to reflect him more. Help us to witness and share him more with the people that you've set into our lives and along our pathways. So draw near, O Lord. We ask that you would presence yourself among us and that we would know the help of the Holy Spirit in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we read at this stage from the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, so the end of the chapter. Verses 21 to 35, page 868 in the church Bibles here. Matthew 18. From verse 21, let us hear God's word. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant, therefore, fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgive you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you from his heart, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So reads God's word. Well, boys and girls, I'm going to speak to you very especially for a few minutes this morning. And there's a few of you here, but there's a few of my boys and girls here as well, and so it's great that I can speak to all of you. Now, I wonder how many of you boys and girls, maybe if you've been taken out somewhere nice for lunch or dinner, and you get a drink. Our children get water whenever we go out, but sometimes there's something special added to the water to make it extra cold. Extra cold. Who can tell me what am I thinking about that gets added to the water? Yes, Toby. Ice. Oh, our boys especially love it when they get ice in their cups when they go out for somewhere nice. So lots of people like ice in their drinks, especially when it's a really, really hot summer day. We've had some really hot, lovely days recently, and especially in that kind of weather, ice cold drinks, oh, they hit the spot, don't they? I mean, I don't know anybody who likes warm juice. No, thank you. Warm juice, warm Coca-Cola, no thanks. But ice in it, oh, that would be lovely. So you can get, boys and girls, special fancy fridges. Maybe some of you have some. A fridge that has an ice maker in it. And boy, they would be great. And you just go to the fridge anytime you want. You press a wee button and ice comes out of the fridge freezer whenever you want. That would be great. But if you don't have one of those, you might need one of these. You might need one of these. Now, have you seen one of these before, boys and girls? Yes. So I don't know if our children have seen one of these before. So you get one of these, and how does it work? What do you think? Not Toby this time. How does this work? At the very back. You've seen this. You nodded your head. So how? Explain this to my children. How would you use one of these? Perfect. Perfect. Dead simple. So you've all these little holes. You put water in this. You have to keep it really flat. Put water and then set it into the freezer. And in a wee while, you'll get ice cubes, and then you just pop out the ice cubes one by one, and you've got brilliant. You've got ice that you can put into your drinks. Now, the thing is, boys and girls, it takes a little while for it to turn to ice. You can't just open up the freezer 2 minutes later and think it's somehow changed. Oh no, if you start pulling it out after 2 minutes, there's water all over the place. You'll have made a mess. Your mums will not be pleased. You have to wait a little while for ice to form. And it takes a little bit of patience. That's a word we're thinking about. It takes a bit of patience for the ice to form. So we need patience for ice, and it's worth it. If we have patience, It's worth it when the ice forms. Now, in contrast to that, I have with me some of this as well, boys and girls. Hot chocolate. Hot chocolate, oh yes. And you make hot chocolate by putting in some of this powder, and then you need to add in some either hot milk or hot water. You can do it with both, hot milk or hot water. If you were to just take milk from the fridge and pour it into the powder, do you think that would work, boys and girls? It wouldn't dissolve the powder. It would just turn into a gloopy, lumpy mess. And I don't think anybody would want that kind of hot chocolate. It's in the name, isn't it? Hot chocolate. It needs to be hot. And then the powder all dissolves and you get lovely, creamy, hot chocolate. But you need to get the milk or the water warmed up. So maybe you warm it up in the microwave or in the stove, or maybe you boil the kettle for the hot water. But that takes a little bit of patience, boys and girls. It doesn't just happen in 5 seconds, sorted. It takes a little bit more than that. It needs a bit of patience for you get the milk or the water warmed up to the right temperature, and then you make the hot chocolate, and it's worth it when you've waited. It's worth it when you've waited. So boys, both with ice and with hot chocolate, we need patience. Patience. So that's what we're thinking about today. There's lots of things in life that require patience, not just ice or hot chocolate, but maybe you're waiting for school to finish. That needs patience. Maybe you're waiting for the school holidays. That needs patience. Maybe you're waiting for the new football season to start already. Maybe you're waiting for Christmas. That needs patience. Maybe you're waiting to grow up and you can't wait until you can drive a car. Oh, that would be great. That needs patience. There's some people waiting to get married. That needs patience. The Bible tells us we need to learn patience. We need to wait for God to answer our prayers. We're all waiting for Jesus to come back. That needs patience. There's lots of things in life that need patience. And the Bible tells us patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So next time you feel impatient, you remember the ice tray and you remember the hot chocolate. And you remember, well, waiting is worth it for ice and hot chocolate. So waiting will be worth it in other things as well. Well, let's come and sing again about patience. Psalm 37. Psalm number 37. We're singing verses 6 to 10. 37 verses 6 to 10, the tune 102. Verse 6, rest in the Lord. And here's the word, patiently wait for him. Do not fret because of him who evil does, and still he prospers yet. Again, verse 8, those who evildoers are will be cut off and fall, but those who wait upon the Lord, the land inherit will. The Bible and often, and the Psalms especially, have this language of waiting on the Lord, trusting his timing, resting in the Lord, waiting patiently in him. We're not very good at being patient in waiting for the Lord. And so here's words that help us. Psalm 37, verses 6 to 10. We again stand to praise God together.
Grace in the Lord and patiently wait for him. Do not fret because of him who evil does, and still he prospers yet.
let us continue to worship God as we return to him our tithes and offerings. We come before the Lord again in prayer. So as we're able, let's stand as we pray together. Lord, we bring before you the various needs of the work and ministry of this congregation here. We give you thanks for establishing in your will and in your sovereign good pleasure a body of believers here in Kilrats. We thank you for the long history. We thank you for the generations of men and women who have given themselves in service and in faithfulness. We thank you for minister after minister who have served in this place. And Lord, we bless and praise you. We give you thanks for saints who have gone on into glory. And Lord, their labors follow after them. We give you thanks that we are your people here now in this place, and we ask that you would greatly pour out your blessing to supply all the various needs of this congregation. We pray for the oversight, the elders and the deacons. We give you thanks for these men that you've called into office, some of them quite newly into office, and we pray that they would each and every one know your leading and directing, your guiding and your providing, that you would give them wisdom. Give wisdom to the elders as they seek to shepherd the flock of God here on earth. Give wisdom to the deacons as they seek to steward and compassionately care for the needs of this congregation. We pray, O Lord, for the young people and the children, and we pray for those perhaps in the middle of study season and exam season. Give them grace and help. Give them refreshment today. We pray for little ones, O Lord. We give you thanks for children, and we pray your blessing on them, that they would know the Lord, remembering the Creator in the days of their youth. We pray for those on the other end of things, O Lord, and maybe no longer able due to age or poor health to get out to the place of worship. We pray for those in nursing care, residential homes, and we ask that you would draw near to them today. We pray very especially for Mrs. Leakey, and we ask that you would draw near to her, and that she would know today a measure of clarity and help and grace, and that she would know today is the Lord's day, and that you would grant her a Sabbath day blessing, bringing to mind the things of your word, and that she would nourish herself and her faith might be strengthened as she considers your word. O Lord, draw near to all of us as we seek to think over your word and hear it preached and applied to us. Be our teacher, we ask. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a short reading now from Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, page 1037 of the Church Bibles. Galatians chapter 5, just two verses, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We're going to be thinking about these verses both this morning and this evening. Let us hear the word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Brilliant words. Beloved words. Beautiful words. Many of us have memorized them from an early age, this cluster of nine characteristics or personality traits or virtues, godly graces. Nine of them that Paul ascribes to the believer in Christ. I think every Christian wants to be the kind of Christian in whom all of these graces are growing in a wonderfully balanced way, the fruits of the Spirit. And the perfect example for us in this respect, of course, is Christ. And in fact, the fruit of the Spirit is a wonderful description of Christ's character, his unmatched character. I think at the end of the day, these verses speak first and foremost about Jesus. And if we want to see any of this fruit of the Spirit in our lives, I think first we need to see it in his life. And that's what we want to do today. Today I want to look with you at two aspects of this fruit of the Spirit as we find them in the life of Christ. This morning, you've guessed it, patience. And then, God willing, this evening, kindness. Patience and kindness. After all, are these qualities not in short supply today? Patience, kindness. There isn't much patience or kindness in the workplace, sure not. There isn't much patience or kindness in school or in the sports field or at the market. Sometimes there isn't much patience or kindness in our homes, amongst our families, between the people we love most on the face of this planet. Not a great deal of patience or kindness sometimes. Sadly, of course, it filters into the church as well. Far too often the church is a place of impatience and unkindness. So we do well today to consider these two fruit of the Spirit, chiefly as we see them in the life of Christ. So patience this morning. Let's think firstly, recognizing the patience of Christ. Recognizing the patience of Christ, because it is in Christ that we see perfect patience. Perfect patience. Like all the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus is the embodiment of patience. He's the supreme example of patience. His life, his ministry were marked by enormous patience. And I would suggest we see his patience in two ways in particular. Firstly, we see his patience in the face of affliction. In the face of affliction. There's different words in the New Testament translated as patience. One of them is the word long-suffering. New King James uses long-suffering in the fruit of the Spirit list. That's literally the word used here, long-suffering. It's the ability to endure trials, to endure hardships, the ability to do that without losing faith in God or his purposes. Long-suffering, it's being able to suffer a long time, perhaps, under the mistreatment of others. The capacity to endure suffering and not complain. The capacity not to be irritable, not to fly off the handle, long suffering. So the Christian who is the victim of office politics, they need to be long suffering. Or the believing husband or wife who is rejected or mistreated by an unbelieving spouse, they need this kind of patience, long suffering. It's translated elsewhere as endurance. Endurance. It's something Joseph exemplified in the book of Genesis after being abused by his brothers. Joseph's long suffering and endurance enabled him to say, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." And if we see it in Joseph, we see it in a far greater way in Jesus. Think of it in Christ's life. He displayed long suffering toward those who persistently challenged him, who persistently opposed him, the religious leaders of the day, the scribes, the Pharisees. They were always so critical, so negative. In fact, in John's Gospel, chapters 5 to 10, we find our Lord spending lots of time trying to reason with his unreasonable critics. And 5 chapters, he patiently interacts with them. And it's incredible because each discussion ends with his opponents wanting to kill him. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. They lost their temper with him. He never lost his temper with them. We find in Luke chapter 9, James and John got so fed up with one village for rejecting Jesus, they wanted to call down fire from heaven to come down in the village, incinerate the place. Jesus rebuked James and John. He was long-suffering in the face of mistreatment, in the face of affliction, even when his disciples weren't, he was. And of course, think of his suffering in the hours leading up to his death, when he was falsely accused, when he was betrayed again and again, when he was deserted, when he was beaten, when he was mocked, when he was taunted, when he was humiliated, when the Lord of glory was spat upon. Consider his patience, friends, his long suffering. Can we not see his long suffering as the nails were driven into his hands, as the crown of thorns tore into his scalp? Can we not hear his long suffering as he prayed for the people crucifying him? How patiently he bore the injustice, his anger exceedingly slow. Peter writes, though he was reviled, he did not revile in return. Though he was threatened, he never threatened back. He endured wrong without doing any wrong. The writer to the Hebrews wants us to consider this. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Consider him who endured, that's a similar word, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. So patience in the face of affliction, long suffering. But we see patience from another angle in Christ's life. We see patience in the face of frustration. In the face of frustration. Another word the Bible uses for patience is the word forbearance. It's a little bit more archaic. Forbearance. That's the ability to tolerate others. The ability to put up with failures, sins, and weaknesses. Not losing your temper. Forbearance. Not flying off the handle. Being able, in the face of frustration, to lovingly tolerate others. to be forbearing with them. Think of this aspect of patience in Christ's life. He was so tolerant, so patient with people. They came making all sorts of demands at all sorts of inconvenient times. And he was always so patient with them. Jesus was a very busy man. We read of him after the death of John the Baptist. He needed some time. He left the crowds. He wanted to cross the Galilee for a bit of downtime. He needed time to himself. The crowd get wind of it. They run around Galilee. They are there waiting for him when the boat lands. When he gets out of the boat, he looks upon them not with frustration, not with irritation, but with this patient, forbearing compassion. On more than one occasion, he was patient and tender with little children, wasn't he? How impatient some of us can be with little children, not Jesus. We see him patient with his disciples. They were so slow in the uptake, these disciples. Their heads just seemed to be so thick, didn't they? They didn't understand so often what Jesus was saying. And patiently he explained things again and again. In Matthew chapters 15 and 16, in three consecutive chapters, Jesus has to say to his disciples, "Are you still so dull? Do you still not understand?" He was so forbearing with their weaknesses, with their shortcomings. Specifically, he was forbearing with Peter. Peter, who failed him disastrously. After his resurrection, we have a beautiful display of this forbearing tolerance when Jesus meets Peter again, wonderfully restoring him. He was equally patient with Paul. Paul recognizes this. This man, prior to his conversion, was Saul of Tarsus, persecuting Christ and the church. He writes this, Paul, 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. "I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." Paul says, he saved me so that I would be a model, that he might display his perfect patience in saving me. So see, friends, Christ perfectly illustrates patience. Patient in the face of affliction, patient in the face of frustration. That's the first thing this morning, recognizing the patience of Christ. In some ways, that's the easy bit. That's the easy bit, recognizing the patience of Christ. Let's think secondly, reflecting the patience of Christ. Reflecting the patience of Christ. It is obvious, isn't it? Patience is a virtue that is increasingly needed today. How many marriages could do with a dose of patience? How many families, how many homes could do with a little bit more patience? Think of the workplace. How much better things would be if people were more patient. Think of the roads. How impatient people can get behind the wheel of a car. Maybe when they're behind a tractor as well. How impatient they get. It is disturbing, I think, to hear some Christians describe themselves as impatient. And sometimes, in a way, they're quite proud of it, almost. I've met some Christians, and they've said quite openly, without embarrassment, "You know, I'm the kind of person, I don't suffer fools gladly. I do not suffer fools gladly." Sinclair Ferguson has said, when he hears someone say those words, he always wants to respond by saying, well, Jesus did. Jesus did. Jesus suffered fools gladly, and he admits the darker side of him always wants to add, and you're one of the fools. It should grieve our hearts, friends, when we see impatience in our lives. It's not something to be proud of. How easily frustrated we can get, how short-tempered we are, of how quickly we explode or fly off the handle. And rather than excusing it and just saying, oh, that's the way I am, that's just me, that is just me, we need to acknowledge it, friends, as a sinful response to the situations, circumstances in life. There's nothing Christ-like about it. Nothing Christ-like about it. So patience isn't optional for the Christian. As followers of Christ, we are to have this fruit of the Spirit in our lives. But how do we grow here? How can we display this more and more? How do we become more patient? Well, the answer isn't just to try harder. This virtue does not come naturally. It's a fruit of the Spirit. There's nothing natural about it. It is not something with which we are born. In fact, we are born impatient. Anyone who's had a newborn knows that. We are not able in and of ourselves to grow patience. This is a work of grace. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the ways, one of the best ways the Spirit cultivates and develops patience in us, friends, is as we meditate and as we think on how we have been dealt so patiently with by Christ. I mean, the more we think about Christ's patience to us, the more, friends, we will be in a position to reflect that patience out, to represent that same patience to others. I mean, this morning, can many of you not think of how patient Jesus was with you before you became a Christian? For years, you lived in this world, and the whole time, you lived for yourself. Your life revolved around you. You rejected him. Yet he was so patient with you. So astoundingly patient with you. You have been the beneficiary of staggering patience. Instead of punishment, you received patience. Perhaps you're here and you're not yet a Christian. You should know Christ is being patient with you. He's letting you come here to hear about him again. That's a testimony to his patience with you. You must not test his patience. You must not presume on his patience. Christ's patience, even Christ's patience, has a limit. And even after becoming a Christian, still he is so patient with us. Not just before we became Christians, but every day since. Think of how patient he is with you, brother, sister. When you are so slow of mind, we thought of the disciples, slow of mind. Are you not slow of mind at times, slow to pick things up from the Lord? So ignorant as to how he wants you to behave. Think of his patience when you come to make demands of him. Again and again, when you make these requests of him, think of his exceedingly great patience to you when you fail him again and again. Were it not for his patience with us, friends, where would we be? Were it not for his long suffering and forbearance towards us, where would we be this morning? Consider how patient he is to you. Give thanks for that. Meditate on that. And that is what will help us be more patient with others. The long-suffering, the forbearance we've received from Christ is to flow out to those around us, so that when someone annoys you, when someone sins against you, when someone presses your buttons, when something irritates you, instead of lashing out, instead of flipping the lid, instead of flying off the handle, you ask yourself, where would I be if Jesus treated me the way I'm about to treat that person? Where would I be if God treated me the way I'm about to treat that person? And you be like Jesus to them. You take up the challenge to be a picture of Jesus to them, reflecting the patience that you yourself have received. That's why we read the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18. At the point of that parable is help us to recognize our need to be patient with others by recognizing God's patience to us. You remember the parable, don't you? You have this unmerciful servant, deeply in debt to his master. As the parable develops, he is completely forgiven of that huge debt. It's just written off. But as soon as he leaves his master, he finds one of his own servants who owes him a few pennies, a minuscule amount. And the unmerciful servant, who's just been forgiven a huge debt, he flies off the handle with his servant, demanding patient and payment, showing no patience whatsoever, even having the man thrown into prison. Are we not too often like that unmerciful servant, friends? We have received staggering patience, and yet we're so harsh, so demanding to others, and so often it's with the people we love most in this world. Our husband, or our wife, or our children, or our parents, or our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our church family. Or we lose patience at work. We lose patience on the road. We lose patience in the waiting room. We lose patience in the restaurant. Really, in an impatient world, people who reflect this patience of Christ, they will stand out, won't they? They will stand out from the crowd. They will be noticeably different. There'll be a breath of fresh air in a short-fused world. Do we not then need to be asking the Lord for this kind of patience? Let's think thirdly then, just about that, requesting the patience of Christ. So recognizing Christ's patience, reflecting Christ's patience. Thirdly, requesting the patience of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't drop into our lives like a neatly gift-wrapped package. We don't get it from reading a book or going on a course. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something the Spirit grows and cultivates within us. But like any fruit, it takes time. Patience grows slowly. The story is told of a child who repeatedly demanded his dinner before his mother had finished preparing it. When's dinner? When's dinner ready, Mummy? When is dinner ready? Is it ready yet, Mummy? Is it ready yet? And finally, she turned to the child and she said, "What you need is a big helping of patience. A big helping of patience." And the child replied, saying, "Okay, but I want it right now. I want it right now." That's the thing with patience. Patience can only be acquired by patience, by being made to wait for it. In fact, patience develops in situations that are likely to make us impatient. In that respect, it's like a muscle. It's like a muscle. If our patience is never tested, if it's never exercised, if it's never put under any strain, any pressure, it's never going to grow. So don't be surprised, friends, if when you pray for patience, you find that God puts you into a situation that requires patience, because that's how it grows. That's how it grows. That's how this fruit develops. Don't be surprised if you pray that God would make you a more patient person and the Lord brings some awkward people into your life who will test your patience. He may permit some problem to enter your life in order to develop your patience. Maybe an illness of some kind. Maybe a situation at work. Maybe a period of singleness. Maybe a vacancy in the church, testing your patience. Maybe a wayward child, testing your patience. Maybe an NHS waiting list, testing your patience. What a helpful perspective this gives us, friends. Maybe that situation, that circumstance that you feel you could have done far better off without, maybe God brought that to pass to give an opportunity to develop, among other things, but to develop also your patience. So maybe a word of caution when it comes to praying for patience, because it's often in the problems, the difficulties of life, that the Lord develops and produces this fruit. It's in affliction, it's in frustration that we will grow most in this area. And as the Spirit works in our lives, as we reflect on how patient the Lord has been to us, we should increasingly find we're able to take the strain. We should increasingly find that patience is developing. And the things that made us fly off the handle a year ago, we're not flying off the handle the same way now, because patience is growing. Patience is developing. The fruit of the Spirit, patience. It'll be a few hours before we come to the next fruit of the Spirit this evening. Believe me, friends, between now and then, your patience, and no doubt my patience, is going to be tested. Let us pray together that by God's grace it will also grow. That it won't just be tested, but that it will grow and we will be more and more like him who was 100% perfectly patient. Amen. We sing again of this wonderful virtue, Psalm 103, verses 7 to 11. Psalm 103, verses 7 to 11, these are well-known and well-loved words. And verse 7, that large verse at the top of the page, 103, the Lord, he is compassionate, and he is gracious too. Abounding in his steadfast love, he is to anger slow to anger. As we sing of the Lord's slowness to anger towards us, we want to be men, women, young people who reflect that slowness slowness to anger. We want to reflect that to the people around us. 103, 7 to 11, the tune 106. We again stand to praise God together. We thank you for your patience to us. We must test your patience day in, day out. So we give you so much thanks today as we think of your exceedingly great patience to hard-hearted, dull-hearted, slow-hearted sinners like us. And Lord, forgive us for how we show so little of this patience to the people in our lives. Help us to be those who are slow to anger ourselves. Help us to be those who abound in long suffering and forbearing, who can tolerate others. Help us not to be so quick to fly off the handle, to flip the lid, to blow the fuse, but Lord, give us this slowness to anger. And Lord, perhaps you've placed us in a situation or brought people into our lives or brought some circumstance which right now is testing our patience. Lord, would you strengthen it, we pray. Would you develop this fruit of the Spirit in our lives that we might be more like him who was and is perfectly patient with us. Hear these our prayers. And now the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.